you're going to begin. Actually, you all should come to the front. Then we can kick you. We can warm each other up. Okay, as you know, Pastor's away. He's in Myanmar. And there's some important things that he needs to do in over there. And he's meeting up with the lawyers and looking into matters with reference to the church there. And, well, we're going to especially pray for him, and that the Lord will grant him wisdom and guidance from above. And may the Lord be sovereign over all things. Okay? But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, we like to specially pray for Pastor as he ministers in Myanmar. We pray, dear Lord, that you will grant him wisdom and guidance, especially as he meets with the lawyers. We pray, dear Lord, that you will oversee all things, that you will lead us in triumph in Christ. And we pray, dear Lord, that our brethren there will be deeply encouraged, Lord, through his teaching and guidance. And even as we study your word this evening, we pray that you will bless this time. Be with all those who are still making their way here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Pastor last week spoke about the covenant, okay, from Deuteronomy 29. And he was explaining how the covenant was something that is important to understand, and how they were able to cut the covenant. It's something that is a serious thing. It is something that when the Abrahamic covenant was given, there was a cutting of the covenant. And in chapter 29, we also see how the whole idea of recalling, taking the time to recall how God had been there for the people of Israel. Okay, and yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. Okay, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, so Moses took the time to recall what the Lord had done for the people of Israel. Okay, and now we come to a very, very important moment where he's going to get the people to be part, to enter into this covenant with God. Okay, in verse 10, we read, "All of you stand today before the Lord your God." Okay, and there are three things that we want to consider when it comes to making this covenant. Number one, there must be the consciousness of God. Two, there must be the commandments of God. And number three, there is a covenantal relationship with God. Okay, these three factors must be there. And so they were making a covenant before God. They were meant to be conscious of God, conscious of the very presence of God. Okay, verse 10, "All of you stand today before the Lord your God." In verse 15, "But with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God." And this is repeated twice in this passage. And the idea of the consciousness of God is so important. When we look at the idea of the covenant, there must be that consciousness of who God is, what God has done, and there must be the presence of God. Moses took the time to review all that God had done for the people of Israel, how the Lord led them for 40 years, clothes and sandals not worn out. And that's really special. Can you imagine wearing clothes for 40 years in the wilderness and the clothes doesn't worn out? That's really special. I especially wore this shirt today Because this is one of those shirts, no matter how many times you wash, the color doesn't fade. Right? It still looks new, isn't it? No? You know how long I have this shirt already? 10 years. Some shirts, you wash, after 1-2 years, the color will fade. Not this one. So, wow, this one I've been wearing for 10 years and the color hasn't faded. Okay, never mind. Just besides the point. But you know what? The clothes did not wear off. Sandals were not worn out. They've been eating manna for 40 years. Every day they see this white thing on the ground. And then, you know, they will say, what is it? Okay, and that's manna. What is it? And the Lord provided for them for 40 years. The Lord had been there for them. The Lord helped them to conquer King Sihon and Og. And they were to be conscious of God, of all that God had done for them. And they were to stand before this God. Okay? There should be a heightened sense of the consciousness of God. And there were the commandments of God that the people of Israel were meant to follow. Verse 9, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them. The challenge for them was to get down to doing, to keeping the commandments of God, that you may prosper in all that you do. Okay? And then thirdly, there's the covenantal relationship with God. There was going to be a special relationship between God and the people of Israel. There was going to be this covenantal relationship where God will be their God and they will be His people. Okay? And so this was something that Moses wanted the people to do, to stand before the Lord, to be conscious of the Lord. And in verse 10, we read, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water. Okay, and the covenant of God is all-inclusive. It is not exclusive. It includes everyone. It includes all the leaders. It includes all the men. It includes the children. See, that's why we have infant and pedo baptism. Because the covenant of God includes children, your little ones. It also includes the wives. Okay? It includes those foreign workers, those who draw water, those who cut the wood. They are also included in the covenant. Can you see this? So the covenant of God is not exclusive. It is all inclusive. It includes everyone, including the foreigner who wants to be part of the covenant. They can be part of the covenant. Can you see this? And this is something really special, right? It is all inclusive. Okay? And children can be part of the covenant. So this is another passage that tells us that children can be part of the covenant of God. Can you see? The infants, your little ones, can be included. So children can be involved in the covenant. And, you know, it's always wonderful to see children, infants being baptized. Because we believe that they are part of the covenant of God. So this passage tells us, supports that idea of how children should be part of the covenant of God. Can you see this? And to me, that's wonderful. I've been reading a book on Martin Luther and his wife, Catherine. Okay, it's about their relationship and their family life. And Catherine is a wonderful wife, very supportive, always there supporting him, but one who will discuss theological things with him too. And that's wonderful. And when they first gave birth to their first son, okay, his name is Hans Luther. During that time, when a baby or an infant is baptized, there's a lot of rituals, okay, in the church. One, they would blow under. So during this baptism that they have, they will blow under the newborn's eye, and then they would conduct an exorcism. Okay, because they believe that before the infant is baptized, Satan can enter into the infant. Okay, so the first thing they do is that they will do an exorcism. They will say, "Flee from this child, unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." Okay, so that's the first thing they do. Secondly, they will take salt and put it on the forehead. Okay, and then they will say another word: "Take the salt of divine wisdom, and may atone you in eternity." Okay, that's the second thing. The third thing they will do is that they will take some clay and take the priest will spit on it and put it on the baby's eyes and ears. Okay, so that's the third thing. And then he will pronounce again, "Dear child, receive the sweetness of God. Devil, flee from the judgment of God that is near." Okay, so they had all kinds of wrong ideas during the medieval time. Then after that, they will anoint the child with olive oil. And then after that, they will change the clothes into white gown. And then finally, they will light a candle. Okay, so this was what they used to do during that time. Now, Martin Luther changed everything. Okay, he says, we don't need all these things except taking the water and baptizing the child. So what we have today is actually from Martin Luther. Okay, same thing with marriage. During that time, marriage was like, you know, it wasn't done in the church. During the medieval time, they would do it in terms of, okay, here's an agreement, and then they consume it by the couple sleeping together, okay, and then they're considered married. And Martin Luther changed that. He wrote a book talking about how the couple must prepare. There should be an engagement period. So this idea of engagement period actually is from Martin Luther. Okay, there should be an engagement period, and then after that, we will have the exchange of vows in the church before God, and everybody should come together. Okay, and then after that, they will have a wedding reception. Actually, this thing that we have today is Martin Luther who came up with it. Okay, and we have Martin Luther to thank for what we have today. Y'all didn't know that, right? I also didn't know until I read this book. Okay, and I thought that was quite enlightening, that he was the one who decided that this should be the way things should be done. Okay, and so baptism was changed by Martin Luther. He decided that we should just focus on pouring water and then that's it. And you know, it's wonderful to see how children can be included in this covenant. Okay, just for review, there are actually four covenants, right? First, there is a Noahic covenant, which applies to us today. Okay, the rainbow. Okay, that's the first one. Second one, the Abrahamic covenant. All families of the earth will be blessed. That covenant applies to us today. Can you see that? We don't have circumcision, but we have infant baptism. So that applies to us today. Okay? Romans 4 and Galatians 3 speaks of how we are heirs according to the promise. Now, the Mosaic covenant does not apply to us today. Okay? So all the laws do not apply to us. The new covenant, of course, applies to us. Those who have faith in the Lord Jesus, and, you know, it's meant to be applied today. Okay? So these are the four covenants. Three applies today, one doesn't. So the Mosaic covenant doesn't apply to us. Right? If not, we cannot eat unagi, cannot have roast pork, cannot have sweet and sour pork. How horrible life will be without sweet and sour pork. Right? How wonderful it is to have roast pork and so on. Okay? This afternoon, some of the guys were eating roast pork. Oh, it was really good. Looks really, really good. So of the Mosaic covenant does not apply to us today, but the nine of the commandments of God, they continue to apply because it's mentioned in the New Testament. Sabbath law doesn't apply to us. Okay? Now, the next part of the covenant, so the covenant of God is all-inclusive. Okay? It is not exclusive. Two, it is something that it's meant to enter into. Verse 12, it says that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today. Now, you are meant to enter into his oath. So this is a suzerainty covenant. It's not a parity covenant. It is a suzerainty covenant. It's not something that you enter into lightly. Okay, it's meant to be a serious thing. It's meant to be before God. You are meant to make an oath, a declaration before the Lord. And this was something that Moses was trying to get the people of Israel to do with a tremendous sense of seriousness and sincerity. You know, every day, every student will make a pledge before the flag. And of course, a lot of times you do it, you know, because you have to do it. It's not said with a lot of sincerity. Okay? Once a year during National Day, I will do it. I will actually stand and I will say it with a lot of sincerity. When new citizens given citizenship, they will take an oath of allegiance. And I was able to attend one of these sessions. And they will tell you that, okay, before that, they will tell you, you are supposed to make a declaration. You are to renounce your loyalty to this foreign country that you are from. Okay, and then you are to swear that you will be faithful and bear true allegiance to the Republic of Singapore, to observe the laws, and to be a true, loyal, faithful citizen of Singapore. Now, it's very interesting. The word faithful comes up twice in this oath of allegiance. I thought that was very interesting. Twice. You are meant to be a faithful Singaporean. The word faithful comes out twice. And in this covenant, that is what God wanted the people of Israel to do. To be faithful. Okay? This was an oath of allegiance. Declaration of faithfulness to God. So this was a serious thing. Okay? By an even greater degree, the people of Israel were to enter into this covenant, to enter in this oath of faithfulness to God, and they were supposed to do it with all sincerity and from the heart. Okay? And this was something that was important. Okay, any questions that you want to raise up? Yes, anybody? Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Mitch.
Yes.
Maybe just now you shared about like the Martin Luther and how we get inspiration from all our current practices are based on inspiration from him. And so I believe that from Jesus' time and even those days of Old Testament times, there were many practices that will evolve and change.
Yeah.
So how do we discern between what is acceptable and what is not?
I think, you see, during the times of Jesus and during the times of the Old Testament, they all had their, you know, Hebrew customs and Jewish laws, and they did it in a certain way. But during the times of the medieval times, it has become something that was not based on the Word of God. Like, for example, the baby, you know, he's open to be, you know, possessed by the devil. See, these were false ideas during that time. These were the Dark Ages, right? And so what Martin Luther was doing was that as he read the scriptures, as he understood the scriptures, as he translated the whole Bible into German, from Latin to German, you know, he was able to ascertain that these are the things that we should do. Right? These are the right things. And the baptism is only with reference to, you know, water baptism. That's it. You don't need all the other things. So based on the scriptures, right? Based on the scriptures, based on the principles, based on theology, we have come to accept that these are practices that we have today, traditions that we have continued, right? It's good to prepare for marriage. It's good to have a time where we have PMC. That's why we have PMC, premarital counseling, you know? And, it's good to prepare for that. It's good to say the marriage vows before God, before everybody. It should be a time of worship. See, these are good principles. These are good traditions. These are things that are based on the Word of God, right? Then, of course, a time of celebration, wedding after that. Can you see that? So, based on, sure, there are many, many other traditions. There are many, many Jewish customs. But we are not Jewish. We are not Hebrew. We are Singaporeans, right? We are Christians. And last time was all Bethany. We used to have Bethany one. We had other traditional things. For example, like worship. We had the sevenfold amens. Sevenfold, you know, praise the praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above the heavenly host. So every worship, we will sing that. Praise Him above the, I can't remember, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Every worship service, remember or not? Do you all remember that? All those? Yes, you can't remember. Terrence, you remember or not, Terrence? Terrence? Remember not a praise God from whom? You can't. Okay, never mind. Anybody remember? Inhui? No. Yes. You remember? Yes. Yeah, you remember that. Huh? Sorry? Oh, I can't hear you. Yeah. Mark remembered. Mark. Yeah. Yeah, we used to do that until one day pastor said, enough. No more. We don't need to do all these so-called rituals. So he dispensed with all these things, right? And we streamline our worship. And what we have today is actually based on synagogue worship. Do you know that? The way things are done today is actually based on synagogue worship. Okay? Reading of the word. And then a short homily, and then the singing of hymns. Okay, it's actually synagogue worship. Okay, and so along the way, we have decided for ourselves, from all that we have seen, what is the best way to worship God, to conduct baptism, to infant baptism, to have a marriage, to have a wedding. And, you know, from tradition, these things were done, and these were wonderful things. And we have continued with them. Right? Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions you want to ask? anybody. Okay, well, good. Let's carry on to the next part. And, you know, the covenant of God, this Mosaic covenant, was not the first time it was mentioned to them. Right, it's been mentioned many times. Okay, in Exodus 6, all the way back in Exodus 6, this was already mentioned. Exodus 6 and in verse 2. Okay. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name I was not mean to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. You see? The covenant. Okay, of course, it started with the Abrahamic covenant, and then the Lord appeared to Isaac, Jacob, and then now, of course, to Moses, right? And so this is not the first time. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out under the burdens of the Egyptians. Right, I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So this is not the first time that in Deuteronomy 29 that God is mentioning about the covenant, right? And so another time this was mentioned to the people. Here, let's go back to 29 Deuteronomy. That they will enter into covenant with the Lord your God, into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today, that he may establish you today as a people for himself, that he may be God to you just as he has spoken to you, and just as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow. Okay? That you may enter, that you may establish today as a people. You see, tremendous sense of purpose. That you, okay, just as he has spoken, that he may be God to you. Right? So we are going to see how God is going to establish. Now, this is an invitation. It's an invitation to everyone. Right? The covenant is inclusive. Now, you must understand that during this time, the people of Israel is a mixed multitude. It is not pure Israel, you know, Israelis. Okay? During this time, it was a mixed multitude. So this was an invitation for everyone to be part of the covenant. There were those who were outsiders. There were those who were not part of the commonwealth of Israel. Some of them were Egyptians, right? Some of them were foreigners. And for example, Ruth was a Moabitess. Okay, so there were people who came from nearby countries and they became part of Israel. Along the way, some of the Egyptians went with Israel, and so they are being invited to join Israel in to be part of the covenant. So God was going to establish his people. Okay? He was going to establish them as his people. He was going to be their God. And this was the establishing of the covenant relationship. From the time of Abraham to the 12 sons, to the 12 tribes, to the 40 years in the wilderness, to the point at Kadesh Barnea, God was going to establish them now as his people. It's taken them a long time. So now he's going to establish this covenant, establish you, that he may establish you today as a people for himself. Whoa. You know, it takes time It takes years. It takes a lot of teaching, guidance, correction before a people can become established as God's people. Yeah, it took years of work for Moses to establish Israel as God's people. 40 years of instruction leading, bring them to this point where they will be established, right? And this covenant will be established. Okay? Yes. And that's something really special. It's taken Pastor many years to establish Bethany for what it is today. And that's something for us to consider. By the grace of God. And so this covenant was going to be established before God and with the people of Israel. Okay? Just as he had spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God does not forget what he has stated before. He was establishing what he had promised. Okay, this was a word of confirmation and certainty, and this was to be taken seriously. This was a word of confirmation of what God has stated before. Okay, so Deuteronomy 29, you know, it's important. 28 chapters, also important. So all the chapters are important. Okay, and it's really an exciting time for the people of Israel. Can you imagine at Kadesh Barnea, just before the land of promise, and Moses is stating all these things, laid before the people of Israel, telling them, you know what, this is our God, we are his people, let's be faithful, let's keep this covenant. Can you see this? Okay. And they're going to make this covenant. Okay, let's take a look. I will make this covenant and this oath, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today before the Lord our God, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Okay, not with you alone, but with him who stands here with us today, as well as with him who is not here with us today. Right? And this is for posterity, it's for the next generation and the generations to come. Okay, this covenant is going to be really special. And it is going to be, it is all-inclusive. It is something that will be established. It is something that is for posterity. It's for the next generation and the next. All those who will come later, who are not standing here with us today. Okay? Okay, any questions anybody would like to ask? The next part, verse 16. For you know that we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and that we came through the nations which you passed by, and you saw their abominations and their idols which were among them, wood, stone, and silver, and gold. Okay, and you know, of course, the Egyptians had many gods. Right? They had a whole host of gods. Many gods. Half man, half animal, and so on. Okay? Actually, I came up with a long list of all the Egyptian gods. And Pastor said, don't waste your time talking about it. I said, okay. So I set it aside. All right. And so there may be not among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, that there may not be. You see, this covenant was also preventive. This covenant was meant to prevent them from turning away from God. You make this suzerainty treaty, this covenant before God, you know what? You should keep it. It's between you and an almighty great God. you jolly well keep it. So it's preventive. It's meant to prevent the people from turning away to other gods, to other lesser gods, right? To wood and clay. Lest whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to serve the gods of these nations. Okay, and that there may not be among you a root bearing bitterness or wormwood. Okay, well, what is this? Now, it's important that we watch the heart. They were meant to remember the past. They were to remember of all what the Lord has done. Okay, lest there be a root of bitterness within the heart. Now, how did this root of bitterness get into the heart? Okay, and how did it become what it is? And the reason, how did this come about? It is true when the people of Israel had a complaining spirit, when they were disgruntled, when they were, you know, not happy with God. Like, for example, God wanting them to go through the wilderness for 40 years. You know, some of them along the way would have been bitter. Some along the way would have, you know, a complaining heart, the root of a complaining heart would result in bitterness and anger. Right? Let's turn to Proverbs 12 for a while. And this was something that Pastor shared. Okay, in verse 12, the wicked covet the catch of evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. Now, of course, the parallel idea is there, okay? And the parallel idea is that we read of how the root of wickedness is covetousness, and the root of the righteous yields fruit. And okay, you can end up with covetousness. You can end up with covetousness. Can you see this? Okay? And that's something for us to think about. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. And so when the heart is filled with bitterness, you end up with tremendous problem. Now, there's a saying that goes that you should not plant fruit plants together with bitter gourd. I don't know whether you have heard that before, but you're not supposed to plant bitter gourd next to fruit plants because they think that bitter gourd, the bitterness will pass off onto the fruit plants. Is it true? I checked the internet. They say most probably no, it doesn't. Okay, but there's this famous saying or this idea that bitter gourd, the plant or the vine, if it's near a fruit tree, it will pass off its bitterness to it. Perhaps maybe there's some truth. I don't know. Okay, but there's this saying. Okay, wormwood is a kind of bitter herb. And so the root of bitterness within the heart can lead to the people turning away from the Lord. So the root affects everything, right? A complaining spirit, a contentious spirit leads to rebellion. Now, let's turn to Hebrews 12 to understand this further. There are only two passages in the whole Bible that deals with this root of bitterness. One of them is Deuteronomy 29, and the other is Hebrews 12. Okay, and in Hebrews 12, we read verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Okay? And so the word looking carefully, it comes from the Greek word episkopeo, means to look intently with ab concern. Okay, it's the word, the idea of looking keeps on coming up in the book of Hebrews, but we see Jesus, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So here we read in verse 15, looking carefully. Scopeo is where you get the word, English word scope, you know, telescope, scope, right? So episcopeo is to look attentively and with carefulness, to look on carefully. So we are to look out lest we fall short of the grace of God. Okay, and you know, sometimes people can end up with a bitter spirit. They can end up with bitterness. Now, there's a term called the spite house. Okay, the spite house. And this is a term for houses that are built in between two houses, and the land in between the two houses is very small. Okay? And so the landowner of that small, you know, in between, he wants to sell it. But the two neighbors don't want, or they want to buy, but they want it to buy at a very cheap price. So there was this millionaire who wanted to sell a piece of land in between two houses, two meter long, width, but the length is 100 yards, 100 feet long. 2 yards by 100 feet long. Okay, so he wanted to sell it to one neighbor. Neighbor gave a very ridiculous price. Then he wanted to sell it to the next neighbor. The neighbor, even lower price. And he got really angry. He got really bitter. You know what he did? He built a house. He built a house on that small piece of land. Okay? He built a house. And he did it with rage, and you know what? He got a contractor, one of the most strangest houses ever conceived. It's only 5 feet wide, okay, and 100 feet long. And he built it, and he went to stay in that house just to spite the neighbors, the two neighbors. And he stayed there until he died. So then, from then onwards, that house has been called the Spite House. and today, it stands at a monument to one man's problems of hate and unforgiveness. Right? You see, that's what bitterness can do to a person. And here in Hebrews, we can see how a person can end up falling short of the grace of God. Now, what does this mean? Falling short of the grace of God. You know, it is possible to take the grace of God in vain. When we are not grateful for the grace of God that has been applied in our life and ministry, we can end up being bitter. Can Christians be bitter? Yes. Can Christians end up being bitter even though grace has been given? Yes. If we do not apply it in our life, we can so-called fall short of the grace of God. It's not that grace has not been given. It has been given. But when we do not appreciate it, we don't apply it, we are not grateful for it, in our hearts, we can end up feeling bitter with a lot of things, right? Some years ago, there was this lady, young lady who came to church and wanted some counseling. Of course, this person doesn't attend church. And she spoke to me and she said, you know, I'm feeling very angry and upset and bitter. And I asked her, why? And she said, you know, I hate my mother. You know, I have always went against what my mother said, and I always try to prove her wrong. So she's a smart girl. She did really well. But then one day she said, you know, maybe I would like to think about being a photographer. And the mother said, don't think about it. You will never make it as a photographer. Guess what she did? She wanted to prove her mother wrong, and she became a photographer. Right? And she did that just to spite her mother. And along the way, she became depressed. Okay? And she came to me for counseling. And I told her, you know, you can do something more than just being a photographer. Right? And wow. She said, you know, I've heard it all. I've gone to all the pastors, 20 pastors, she said. And they all tell me the same thing. Trust God, change. Then I say, why do you need for me to talk to you? And you can see that, wow, she had a lot of anger and bitterness within the heart. And you know, it's easy to end up being bitter if we do not apply the grace of God in our life. When we have taken the grace of God in vain. Okay? Bitterness can grow into trees, bring forth fruits of anger and rebellion, of sin, further sins. And we can end up with a life filled with bitterness. Do you know that there are two types of almond trees? Almond fruits, or almond seed, whatever you call it. There are two types. One is a sweet type. One is a bitter type. Do you know that? Almond can actually be bitter. Okay? And there are two types. There are two variants. Now, the bitter almond tree is banned in the US. Why? Because the oil from the bitter almond and the leaves, if you press out the oil, okay, the oil contains cyanide. Okay, so you want to poison someone, you just take the oil from it and you can kill someone with it. So it's actually banned. That's very interesting, right? And this bitterness, this bitter almond tree, okay, the oil contains prussic acid. And this prussic acid is actually cyanide. Two trees, almond tree, sweet, almond tree, bitter, and poisonous. Whoa, wow. I thought that was very interesting, right? Same, different fruit, right? Variants with reference to trees. And you know, this bitterness can cause trouble within the Christian community. If we are not careful, it's going to hurt us. Okay? And of course, there's also the example of Esau, who fell short of the grace of God. And then he ended up with problems. And you know, one of the best things to do when we look at the grace of God is to always be thankful. To have a heart of gratitude. Right? If we have truly experienced the grace of God, why don't we just be thankful rather than bitter? Okay? And this problem, this root of bitterness can become a tree within a person. It can grow to becoming something worse. Right? So, you know, instead of bitterness, why don't we just be thankful for all that God has blessed us with? I really appreciate Psalm 33, where he says, rejoice in the Lord, for praise from the upright is beautiful. You know, and that's a beautiful psalm, right? for the word of God is right, and you know how the Lord looks down from heaven and how he fashions each person's heart. And you know, there's so many things to rejoice in. Why do we want to be bitter? And I understand it's easy to be bitter. It's easy to be angry with things in life, with people. Right? Sometimes the best thing to do is just to rejoice, to be thankful. To be thankful for what you have. You know, I thank God for Pastor Mark. I really thank God for him. Recently, I did a little renovation in my house. And Stephanie's nieces were staying with us for a few months. And because all the rooms, the flooring we were changing, all of them had to sleep outside in the hall. And there was not enough space for me. Okay, so I was bummed out. All the ladies stayed. And where can I go? Right? I wanted to stay in church, but, you know. So who did I ask? I asked Pastor Mark, hey, do you have a place to stay? Can I stay at your place? And he said, sure, come. And so I went over to Pastor Mark's house to stay for 3 days. 3 or 4 days. And he was very nice. He was very nice about it. He said, hey, Mitch, you know, you can stay in my study. So he opened up his study, and I stayed in study. And poor thing, he has to read his Bible outside in the hall. And I had his study. And but, you know, I really thank God for a brother like him. Right? Thank God for family. Thank God that... and, you know, he has a nice place to stay. And in the morning at 5 o'clock, both of us will get up and we will be reading the scriptures. I'll go and walk. So yesterday he spoke about, was it yesterday? He spoke about getting up early in the morning, right? Was it yesterday? I can verify it. He does get up at 5. And you know, it's wonderful to be able to rely on a brother in a time of need. Right? You know, we can be thankful. Thankful for what we have. Thankful for the grace of God. Okay, now let's go back to Deuteronomy 29. And the next part here, we see a problem of self-deception. Okay. Verse 20, chapter 29, the next part. Lest your heart be turned. That's the first thing. Lest there be a root of bitterness, of wormwood, and so it may not happen when he hears the words of this curse that he blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace even though I follow the dictates of my heart, as though the drunkard could be included with the sober. Okay, and this is self-deception. And so another thing, the preventive idea here, is to prevent people from self-deception. Okay, is to prevent people from straying, turning to idols, heart turning away, is to prevent people from having a root of bitterness. It is to prevent people from self-deception. Okay, you can end up calling curses as blessings. He blesses himself in his heart. He believes that he has peace. He thinks that he would have peace. And you know, people can end up being deceived. Okay, people can end up being deceived by their own hearts. Even though he follows the dictates of the heart, the drunkard and the sober, they're not the same. They are totally different. There's a big distinction between the drunkard and the sober. Okay? And, you know, he doesn't make any difference. To him, he's the same. Right? This is self-deception. And we can end up with self-deception. Okay. Okay. Any questions? Anybody would like to ask? Nope. Okay. Well, let's just review. Covenant. One, it is inclusive. It is meant to establish his people. Two. Three, it is for posterity, for the generations to come. And number four, it is preventive. It is to stop people from turning to other gods, to have a root of bitterness, and to end up with self-deception. So how can we apply faith in the covenants of God today? How can we go about doing that? Noahic covenant, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful that every time we see the rainbow, that God's promise will always hold true. Okay? So the Abrahamic, the Noahic covenant applies today. Abrahamic covenant, let's learn to have faith like Abraham. Okay? Children to be included in the covenant. The Abrahamic covenant today applies. All the families of the earth will be blessed. Families blessed by the Lord. All the families of the earth. Right? So our part is to have the faith like Abraham. And we can call Abraham our father. Okay? Mosaic covenant does not apply to us. Okay, it doesn't apply to us. And so Deuteronomy 29 is a historical account. But the principles that we can learn from the historical account applies to us. Okay, the covenant doesn't apply to us. But the principles, the universal principles, the principles of faith, they apply to us today. Okay, new covenant. New covenant applies to us today. Of course, the consciousness of God, the commandments of God to write upon our mind and heart the commandments of God. And of course, there is that covenantal relationship with God. Okay? And then lastly, let's look out. Okay? Let's constantly look out. Look out, be on the guard for our hearts. Okay, because the root of bitterness can just grow within your heart. Right? And the moment there's that root of bitterness, it stays. It continues. It grows into something worse. Right? And so let's look out for this. Let's be careful. Lest the grace of God is in vain. You know, we fall short of the grace of God. And of course, let's also be careful about the dictates of our own heart. Okay? And these are things that, you know, we should consider and think about, even as we study Deuteronomy 29. You know, even as I prepare my heart, even as I prepared for this Bible study session, you know, I'm deeply challenged. Challenged to look at this idea of the covenant relationship that we have with God. And to be able, Lord, to be able to learn what it means to have faith, to learn how to see with wisdom what we can apply with reference to our life. To be conscious of God, to look at the commandments of God and to apply it, to practice it, to do them. And of course, to develop that relationship with God. Okay? Okay, anything? Anybody? Nope. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study this historical account from Deuteronomy 29 about the covenant that you made with the people of Israel. And we pray and thank you, Lord, that we have this new covenant, that we can have this covenantal relationship with you. Lord, we pray that we will do our part to obey your word. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will help us to look out carefully for things that, like the root of bitterness that can enter into our hearts. Help us look out for them and to prevent them from coming in. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will guide us, and we pray that you will help us to have a stronger faith in your word and in your covenant. And we pray that you will bless us as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. Good night and God bless.